welcome to The Pipeline, all things CD and DevOps podcast by the CD Foundation. I am your host, Jacqueline Salinas, Director of Ecosystem and Community Development. Thank you for joining us. It's episode 10 of season 2. And today's topic is DevOps in Banking and Finance. And I am joined by Manoj Garg from NatWest. Today we have Manoj Garg with us, who has a couple of decades of industry experience in banking and finance. Manoj has been working with RBS NatWest Group for over 15 years and has done various technology roles. Manoj has done roles in risk technology, fixed income trading platforms, and more recently, he has run global operations for digital engineering. For the last year, he has been driving DevOps COE for NatWest Group. He loves technology transformation to build simpler, nimble, and effective organizations. Manoj is based out of India. Manoj, can you tell us what your DevOps journey was like?
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. So, in last 20 years, by nature, I have always loved simplicity, especially when it comes to technology. You know, I like to declutter and I like, you know, very, very simple things. And that's been my nature, you know, since the beginning. I started my career as a developer and then moved on to do the operations roles for various large trading platforms and then risk platforms and then reg reporting platforms and things like that. DevOps per se, you know, I think I would say in about 2015, that's when, you know, the bell kind of rang. That's when I took the function which had, the development, testing, operations or production support, as we call it, you know, all of that together. And what I thought or what I found that, you know, there was such a powerful composition that I could make by bringing all these functions together, right? Instead of, you know, creating silos where dev is doing dev, testing is doing testing, production support is doing production support, where they're not talking to each other. And only time they talk to each other is to blame, basically. And that was really the moment when I said, you know, everything under my influence, under my control. Why don't I try something else? And DevOps was picking up, you know, speed then. People were sort of taking notice of that. So what I did there, a lot of things actually. But first of all, you know, the testing team, for example, I said, you know, let's not have a separate testing team. It should all be part of the platform, part of the delivery mechanism, right? And also as part of even the production support team, you know, I made them work as part of the sprints. They were part of the feature teams, that's how the silos were broken. That's one. The other thing, actually, I should have said, there was a release team and about 23 people were doing just the releases. That sounded insane to me. And I looked deeper into this, found what the problems were, and it was all about manual scripts, manual steps, environment provisioning was manual, building of the environment was all manual. And, you know, I automated, with the team, I automated, the whole pipeline. And, you know, the whole, those 23 engineers, they were, you know, converted to be the developers, and they were producing more work than just shipping work from one place to another. So that's how, I mean, back then I didn't really understand, if I was doing DevOps per se, but that was my first introduction to DevOps. And since then I've been, you know, doing this in whatever role I've been going to, I've been finding these kind of opportunities and implementing. And last year, I had just finished a transformation of the area that I was running, which was the large operations area, where, you know, I broke the operations into, again, you know, small chunks and brought it together with the platforms. And after coming off that work, my boss offered me the DevOps role, given, you know, that's what I've been doing for 5 years. And I really loved it. And that's how I started my DevOps role. And now I had the DevOps COE for NatWest Group globally.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. So that is a perfect transition into our main topic, which is DevOps in banking and finance. So as we dive into our first question, can you please share with us some of your experiences as the DevOps COE lead for a large traditional bank? So NatWest.
Yeah, I think, some very exciting journey, and last 1 year has been, you know, very enriching, fulfilling, if you like. I think on one hand, we have made some great headwinds. The COE is well recognized, well received, in the bank. I get a lot of attention, and people, love to collaborate a lot. And you'd be surprised to know that, in last 1 year, we have created a community of about 1,000 engineers who are contributing to the community and to the learning journey of the organization. And the COE, though, we are very small, but, we support about 10,000 engineers. Lot of learning, lot of, sharing of ideas and implementation of ideas that has been going on. However, when it comes to, let's say, some of the end-to-end pipeline building, there are certain challenges. And challenges in a conventional large organization, you'll see there is heterogeneous technology from, let's say, mainframe to, the APIs and SaaS and PaaS, all of that spectrum is there. And that's one. And similarly, there are very, very heterogeneous skills as well into the play. So, we are dealing with those challenges as we go. However, the good news is senior leaders are all, very, very supportive, and they are, very receptive of the change of the status quo. So far, journey, as I said, is a mixed bag, bit slow in terms of the adoption, but I think, we are on the right track, especially the learning and the community, is a great encouragement.
Wow, that's incredible. I can't believe your team supports 10,000 engineers. Is that correct?
Yes.
How do you do it?
Well, that's not.
That's a secret?
No, not really. Actually, I think, a bit like you guys too, right? At the at your organization, it's a community. And I think, I love the concept of communities where, people are contributing. And, it is for the people, by the people. I really love that concept. And that's what is, making all this happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So how do you think we can implement DevOps in highly regulated environments, such as the finance and banking industry, where you have so many formal gates, checkers, and processes to satisfy these regulations?
Yeah, and this is an interesting question, because I think, if you ask me, a lot of people use this as, should I say an excuse to say, let's do it later, or, we can't automate because that's what the regulation says. I think regulations are good. Let me be very, very honest and open here. I personally love regulations. Let's understand what is the role of a regulator. The role of a regulator is to, especially in our kind of industry, the role is to protect the end customer. And who is the end customer? End customer is the guy who is making, who is using the ATM and the card and,
the net transfers. Yeah, a bank account owner, for example,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Also benefit from that.
Yeah. And, let's say an ATM down or a payment gateway down can have severe impact on this person's life, right? So that's where the regulators come in, and they are concerned about the well-being, financial well-being of these kind of people. So I actually love, the whole concept. I think the problem is, how do we, implement those controls? I don't think regulators ever say that, put 1,000 people on this and do it manually. No, I don't think that's the case. The case is, we need to ensure that certain checks and balances are in place. And those checks and balances, if they're automated, great. Actually, in my opinion, regulators would love it. So that's my thinking on this. And, just to give you an example, if you want to, let's say, check the payment load in a festive season, you don't have to, create those many customers and ask them to, you know, bombard the payment request, I think you can automatically generate those many requests and see if it takes the load or not. So that's what my opinion is. I think this is more about automating the controls, more about using, you know, your existing artifacts, linking everything back to back, and producing the required evidences automatically, not about, you know, sit down and start writing everything, you know, for afresh. That's my take on this topic.
So you like rules, huh?
I like rules, but, you know, the point is, you know, you can follow rules smartly. That's my
Yeah, point. Absolutely. And it's important. So now, what are some of the hurdles when it comes to DevOps adoption that you've experienced or that your organization has experienced?
Yeah, I think, you know, DevOps, a lot of this is also about culture, right? And I think, you know, some of us are, you know, we want result right there. And then, you know, we forget that, you know, it's a culture and it embeds, it takes time, it beds in, and, you know, then we see the long-term benefits. So I think, in my opinion, I've seen fear of failure or breaking something up, you know, as one of the big hurdles. And that's where I think as leaders, we have a responsibility to create a safe environment where our engineers, you know, they can experiment, fail fast, adopt, do it again, and that kind of environment. That's one. Second, I think, you know, again, leaders need to be a little more, you know, receptive of the idea that, you know, the culture change takes time and it is not always about the dollar outcome, you know, day one. And I think, you know, that's the other change or, you know, a hurdle I see sometimes. Third is, I think, difference between the localized and customized solutions versus, you know, are you dealing with the impediments and the patterns? A lot of times what happens is, you know, and in fact, I've done that mistake myself where, you know, I would solve a problem in a certain way, but if the surroundings change around that, for example, if the code changes or let's say, you know, the technology changes, this is not a solution that I can use anymore. And I'm back to square one. So we need to be looking at the patterns and automate the patterns. Those are reusable. We can ship to other areas, teams, and platforms, etc. That sometimes, you know, we miss. I think these are the three big hurdles that I see.
No, that's great. One other question is, how do we influence leaders to start adopting DevOps?
Yeah, I think another good question. I think, you know, first of all, you know, leaders like to see evidences. Leaders like to see, you know, the real impact that has already been created. Right. And that's why it is very important to be on top of your data, create dashboards, see, you know, what are the dials, those you have moved, and bring that, you know, credible story onto the table. That's one. Second, you know, in our area, what we do is we start by, you know, assessing the area, you know, in terms of the DevOps maturity. Right. And that gives a very, very comprehensive view. You know, in terms of where are the, you know, areas of, you know, where are the opportunities. Plus also when you stack up different results, you see the patterns emerging. And that's what leaders, you know, in my experience, they love it. They say, you know, if they make effort in one area, but, you know, that can be reused across, that's really, you know, value for money that they get back. And to be fair, you know, I think if you asked me that question 5 years ago, I would have answered it differently. I think modern leadership it has changed and evolved a lot. And I think, you know, they are much more receptive as well as they welcome these kind of discussions in recent times. These are the key things. I'll give you one example, actually. You know, I experimented on SRE transformation or NoOps transformation, if you like. And that went fairly well. And that has become a story that I can go and, you know, talk to any leader about. There are, you know, tangible costs that we have. We have, you know, user experiences that we can talk about, and that that sells like anything, you know, because there's a lot of you know, significant credentials behind it.
Got it. Where do you see SRE and NoOps trajectory moving? And you, what are your experiences on that, if any?
Yeah, I think I just give a you know, a passing reference of that. And you know, I tried that about a couple of years ago. I you know, again, I started with NoOps in my mind, but you know, NoOps is a myth. I'll you know, at least in my experience, I think that's a myth. SRE is more practical. In fact, you know, very very practical solution to, you know, the problem. In my experience, you know, SRE is the best way to use the human capital and intelligence. The conventional operating operational way of you know, supporting is not really, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, which is where, you know, 24/7 somebody sitting at the screen and waiting for something to go wrong. No, absolutely not. And if you ask me, that's the insult to the human intelligence. And what I did in that area, again, you know, first I assessed whether I need, what kind of availability I needed. And, you know, this was a 24/7 function. And I figured that, you know, we were actually giving premium service for not so premium product offering. And, you know, I didn't really need the night shift, and that removed that. Second, I, you know, broke the teams down and, you know, embedded them into the feature teams and or the platform teams. Number of things happened, actually. That whole night shift, which is, we call it graveyard shift for a reason, that impacts people's life, that has now gone, and people are back into their day shifts, one. Second, they are working on, you know, the real engineering backlog. So their skills are sort of getting upgraded. Third, because, you know, ops and dev were incentivized differently, you know, so nobody was taking care of the failure demand. And that had become a norm. And with this, the failure demand became part of the backlog. And we are seeing some very, very positive trends where, you know, some big, big ticket items are now getting permanently fixed. And that is giving more and more time to our engineers to develop more features for our customers. So I think, to conclude, I'm a big fan of SRE. It's here to stay, here to evolve in software industry as well, though it came from Google mostly for infra. But I think it's going to be here for software industry as well.
Wow. No, those are some really incredible results, Manoj. I mean, getting rid of the graveyard shift, I'm sure that made a lot of your employees and colleagues very happy, because nobody wants to be working those hours. And like you said, it really does impact your personal life. All right. So we are just wrapping up, and I've got one more question for you. So what is your prediction for the DevOps industry for 2021?
I think these are the best times, you know, and we are going right through the transformation. And if you ask me, we are on the better side of the transformation. This, you know, first half usually is where, you know, things are a bit turmoil and, you know, people are still figuring out. I think we have matured from that stage with the cloud, modern technology, SaaS, PaaS, you know, all these things. I think software industry is you know, really moving in the right trajectory and direction. If you look at organizations, you know, organizations are open to investing more and more to make the software engineers' lives better, the customers, you know, experiences better, and that is a very, very positive move. I see, you know, new patterns emerging as well, and leadership being more vocal. You know, I think, unlike, you know, a few years ago, if you asked me, I would say that, you know, let's start with leadership. But leadership these days is much more aware, much more, you know, tech savvy, and they are the guiding light. And I think eventually, finally, DevOps will be the way, you know, software engineering works, basically. It will not be a buzzword. It will not be, you know, what do you call it, you know, something that you sell in the market. It will just be part of, you know, the software development or engineering.
Yeah, I see that too. I agree with that statement. I mean, very much so. I think the culture is very strong. So I think it's only going to evolve. But I think it's very much now embedded in our work culture, which is great. Well, Manoj, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you joining us and coming on and talk to us about what your experience has been like, and also what your journey's been like also at NatWest. This has been really, really fabulous. And we're always keen to have folks like you from the finance and banking industry to join us to talk about what DevOps is like in those sectors. So we appreciate the time, and I hope we see you again soon.
Thanks, Jackie, and thanks for doing this, and thanks to Continuous Delivery Foundation as well. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thank you.